Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I have Andries from The Baking Steel. Now, if you're not familiar with what The Baking Steel is, it's this piece of steel that looks really simple, and it goes in your oven. Yeah. And the reason I wanted to have Andries on is, first of all, I like him. I like his Instagram. I like what he does. We met a few years ago, and I use The Baking Steel a whole bunch in my house. I live in New England. I do have some outdoor ovens, the Gosney and the Uni, but when it's cold outside here and it's 20 degrees, I can't, maybe I can, but I don't want to set those up outside. So I need something to make pizza. And The Baking Steel is a really simple product. And I don't normally do product on this podcast, but I really think Andries does a great job with marketing his business. And I think you can watch him and implement what he does on Instagram in your own business. So yes, it's talking about a product, but we don't really talk about our product too much. We kind of just talk about pizza and getting started and how to make good pizza at home and all that good stuff. So the reason I'm really having Andries on is because I really do enjoy The Baking Steel. So this is not a promotional podcast. He's not paying to be on the podcast. He's just a friend of mine who has a product that I really, really enjoy. And if you are at home, check it out. It makes a really, really great pizza. Go to smartpizzamarketing.com/baking steel. And I'll just, if you use that URL, I'll link you right to The Baking Steel and you can purchase one. I don't get anything for that. This is just me doing this for a friend. By the way, SPM Pro launches when this comes out, smartpizzamarketing.com/pro, monthly calls with me. If you're really looking to figure out marketing and like, listen, it changes constantly. Instagram is completely different. I've been doing some more experiments with Instagram over the last few weeks, and I've noticed a huge difference. But I'm going to share that with our people inside of SPM Pro. If you want to learn about marketing, you want to get ahead, you want to get motivated, you want to hang out with me inside of the monthly calls and just really pick my brain about marketing as well as other entrepreneurs, this is all we got. SPM Pro, you get access to all of our courses as well as part of being SPM Pro members, Facebook group, Slack channel. You can ask me questions directly. And anything I do in the future for these podcasts where I do these experiments and I share them, I'm going to be sharing them first inside of the SPM Pro. So if you are a listener of the podcast and it's a way to support the podcast, go check it out. SPM Pro, smartpizzamarketing.com/pro. I do have to say thank you to a couple of our sponsors today. The Mail Shark, if you're looking for direct mail for your business or postcards, menus, flyers, whatever it is. If you're looking to do some direct mail for your business, check out themailshark.com/SPM. They've been doing it for a long time. If you've been to the pizza shows or you've looked through the pizza magazines, you know that the Mail Shark has been there and they're doing it for a long time. They have data. They know what works. They know what works for pizzeria businesses just like yourself because they do it all the time. And the cool thing about Mail Shark is that they don't charge you a whole upfront fee. You get to pay for those mailers as you go, which is very helpful because you never know if they're going to work or not. And you hope they work, but you don't want to pay for it all upfront if that first mailing doesn't do as good as the third or fourth one. So themailshark.com/SPM. And also the Fiero Group, fierogroup.com. They have this great machine. It's called the Opera Prima. It's a dough pressing machine. If you are a wood-fired pizza business or any pizza business, it does all kinds of dough. You have to check it out. I was at the show, the Pizza Tomorrow Summit in Orlando, and they had one operating there, and they were testing it out. It just launched in January. It's available now. It is expensive, but it can take the place of an employee. And it can take the place of an employee, and they never call out sick. They're never tired. Well, this is the Opera Prima is never calls out sick or is never tired. The employees do. But it's always available. And it's easy to operate, and it does all kinds of dough. Go check it out. fierogroup.com/Opera Prima. OPERAPRIMA. It's on their website. I highly recommend you do it. It doesn't use heat. It doesn't use oils. It's a great machine. Go check it out. Again, fierogroup.com. Thank you to our sponsors for the podcast. Really appreciate them supporting the show. And I would appreciate if you just check them out. If you do check them out, let them know you heard about them on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. Very, very helpful to me. All right, let's get into today's show with Andries from The Baking Steel. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Andries from The Baking Steel is joining me on the podcast. I know you've been on the podcast, but it's been a few years. And welcome back to the show, by the way.
Hey, thanks, Bruce. Great to be here, man. Great to see you, too. I know it's been a while. Did we do that podcast in the test kitchen before?
Yes.
I think we did.
Yeah, last time you were on the podcast, I came out to your test kitchen.
That's right.
And you like gave me a demo of The Baking Steel. It was the first time, actually, for me using The Baking Steel. Real quick, just before we get into that, give everybody like a background about yourself. Like, what do you do? Who are you? Where are you?
Awesome. So my name's Andres Lagston. I'm the founder of the Baking Steel Company. Created the first baking steel back like 10 years ago. My background was I was in food. In my 20s, I left the food industry because of the challenges and just wanted a time out. Went to work in steel for about 15 years. My dad's an entrepreneur. Ended up going back to work with him. Never thought I'd be back in the family business, but there I was trying to grow his business and his brand. His company's called Stoughton Steel. It's awesome. My brother's there, 30 other guys. We made products out of steel for industrial equipment. So my background was manufacturing heavy duty stuff for Caterpillar, John Deere, non-food guys, tractors, backhoes, etc. And I've been doing that. And so that's what
I've been doing. You got into the baking steel. Like, how did that idea come about?
Yeah. So I read, I liked what I did. I liked growing his business. I had a young kid at the time. I didn't love it. It wasn't like my super passion. And I was I wanted to do something different. And then I did, I did a lot of reading, research. I still love cooking. In particular, I love making pizzas. In fact, my last culinary adventure was with Todd English in Boston.
Oh, wow.
And I got hired, in fact, at Figs originally. And it was slinging pizzas. It was like in my mid-20s, like $15 an hour or something. I was like, I'm in. I just wanted to work with Todd. And so I supplemented my income by working with my dad's business. And I was doing that like a side hustle. I fell in love with pizza. Just thought it was phenomenal. And so that was my last culinary adventure. But I've been working with my dad full time since because of the restaurant stuff going crazy. But I had all Todd's recipes. I would take them home and recreate them in my home oven on a pizza stone. And they were good. 10 minute bake. In fact, I used to host a lot of pizza parties at the time. And I was single, just partied, loved making pizzas. I thought you needed a wood-fired oven to really have an epic pizza at home. And that was it. Like, so I had a stone, 10 minutes. I broke a bunch. I'm sure your listeners have made pizzas at home on pizza stones. They're cool, but they break. They don't hold the heat well. I just thought that's what we had. And 15 years of working with steel, I read something with modernist cuisine and kind of hit this light bulb. And I was like, pizza and steel? I'm like, no fucking way. And so I brought a piece of steel home to my home at the time in Cohasset, Mass. And my wife looked at me like, what is that thing you're carrying? It was like literally a piece of steel that I held for a Caterpillar component. But I was going to bake pizza on it. And I made dough that weekend, and I made pizza. And I, for some reason, I didn't really time it like with a stopwatch, but it was a 7-minute bake. And it was crispy on the bottom. And I was like, holy shit. Unbelievable. So I went to my dad and my brother the next day in the office. This is like 2011. The economy was just coming back out of that recession. So we were really busy making our construction stuff. And so I said, hey, I've got this new idea for a product. And they're like, what is it? I'm like, it's a pizza steel. I'm going to make pizzas on it. And they're like, go back to your fucking office. how the hell are you going to? This is before Instagram, before, the internet was there, but.
It wasn't media. You couldn't get information out as easily as you could now.
Not even close. And they were like, good luck. No chance. So I shelved it for a year, to be honest. And you're right. That's impossible. And then it was just if anybody's got ideas, we all have them. They stick with us. This one just kind of stuck with me and it wouldn't go. And I started, cue the Rocky music, but I started, making some, I had a team there, guys, that was amazing. We had $1 million worth of equipment that could help me produce this. So I started making some and sending them out to friends. And the feedback that they gave me was the same feedback I had on that Sunday afternoon. And boom, so a year later, and 6 months after that, I kickstarted it. And I thought, let's get some eyeballs on this thing. Let's see if I'm really crazy or not selling a 15-pound piece of steel.
It is pretty heavy. Users.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
But really, the weight's what makes it work. So
awesome. I mean, listen, I, you know what? You gave me one. I think when we did that podcast, you gave me one. And at first I used it. And then I was like, you know what? My wife would be in the oven. And maybe my oven wasn't great at the time.
Sure.
But my wife was like, taking it in and out was kind of a pain because she couldn't take it out because it's so heavy, right? She'd make me do it.
Totally, yeah.
But then I did a podcast with, who the hell did I do the podcast with? I forget what I did. I talked about, okay. He was making, He has a book, Joy of Cooking. You ever, Joy of Pitcher?
No, Dan Richer.
Yes, that's it.
Boom. Yes.
So I did a podcast with him, and we were talking about his book, right? And we were talking about pizza at home, and he's like, I said, oh, I love the bacon steel. It makes a phenomenal pizza at my house. Like, I love it, but I hate taking it in and out. He's like, dude, don't take it out. I'm like, what?
I got a little hung
He's like, yeah, you never have to take it out of your oven. He's like, you just cook all your stuff right on it. I'm like, you're kidding me. So ever since that moment, I don't even take the bacon steel out of my oven, and no matter what we cook, it just cooks right on the bacon steel. It's like the bottom platform of my oven, and I never have to take it out. And ever since then, it makes making pizza in the oven so much easier, and the pizza comes out so good, I have to say.
Just fast. Like, you know, so basically what we've done is we've created like a deck oven in a home environment. And then you can really torpedo it. You can really get it going if you want to use that broiler.
Yeah.
Now you've kind of got this quasi like radiant heat from above to get it, you know, hotter than the actual 500 degrees.
Yeah.
So I've got this monogram oven here with two steels in it. I can crank out a pizza like every 2 or 3 minutes with two steels in there. You know, just boom, launch. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, but it's cool because we live in New England, right? So, you know, half the time, like even those outdoor ovens, like I have an Uni, I have a Gosney, and they're cool for the summertime when you're outside. But I don't want to leave it outside in the winter because like winters in New England can be brutal. And then I don't want to go through the hassle of setting it up outside in order to use it in the summer. So I end up never using it in the winter.
That sounds similar. And it's funny, I've actually moved. I don't even know if I told you, but I'm actually in Michigan now.
Are you really?
I got moved. I took my family on an adventure out to Michigan. It's a new baking steel studio here. Just about ready to, in fact, I don't know if you can see, but I don't even have my counters here yet. They're coming in tomorrow.
I saw you on your Instagram that you're like putting together a new studio, but I didn't know you moved out of the state.
Yeah, I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Just kind of.
Why'd you move there?
Adventure. It's funny, you know, my wife is from Central Michigan.
Okay.
And I just want to take an adventure. I mean, yeah, why Michigan? Well, both my boys play hockey. So it was a very similar environment.
Yeah.
And so we picked Western Michigan. It just kind of, we had some cousins here, so it was not totally blind.
Yeah.
But it took a while to kind of get things rolling. But yeah, finally got a studio. We're almost ready to rock and roll in here.
Because you had a pretty decent studio back at your other house that I went to.
That wasn't bad, huh? That wasn't bad.
It was nice. I thought it was really nice. You could
it
do
was
some.
Amazing.
Yeah,
like I miss
you,
it.
Yeah, is that a similar setup that you have in there?
This will be a little different. This is gonna be more. It's a little smaller, so I don't have the three ovens like I would there.
Yeah.
It's gonna be more of like a demo kitchen, content kitchen, if you will.
Got it.
Parties, you know, that kind of thing.
It's And is that how you get most of your customers for because of the content you put out on Instagram?
That's it. My whole thing, I'm obsessed with making pizzas, as you are and we all are, right?
Yeah.
And I love teaching. I love teaching people how to make pizza. I'm obsessed with it. And so I do classes. I still do online classes. In fact, if you're one of our customers, even if you're not one of our customers, every week, once a week, we're doing a Zoom class live.
Oh, wow.
And just have, you know, 100, 200, 300 people there. And we'll just make pizza. We'll make smash burgers, mostly pizza related, dough related, and that's what we do. We just educate, and I absolutely love it, and it's obsessed. I'm obsessed with it, trying to not perfect it, because you don't perfect pizza, you just make it awesome, and you make different styles, and it's just so fun, and it's intimidating, right? I mean,
I was just thinking that. It's not like for us, you and I, who have been doing it forever, it seems easy, but for someone who's never made pizza before, they always get nervous with the whole process.
And dough and yeast scare the shit out of people.
They do.
And it still does, by the way. We've probably taught a couple of thousand people at this point. It's like nothing, right?
Yeah.
It just scares people. And when they see us stretching a dough and like they make it look, we make it look easy, right? Well, our dough's been fermenting for 3 days. They're typically going to the supermarket and buying the dough.
Right.
And not even letting it rest, trying to stretch it cold. And nobody can do it. You need a rolling pin. So they see me do it. They're like, oh my God, this guy's a genius. I'm like, no, I'm actually not. I just.
It's just you have a good dough recipe. You know what? Hate's a strong word. I dislike the dough at the supermarket. I found this place near me. It's called Durham. And I suggest anybody do this. Like if you're not a pizza operator, or even if you are, sometimes like, you know, you don't want to go to your place or make dough, or you don't want to make dough at home because you need a whole lead up time, right?
Right.
I found this place right down the street from me. It's a place called Durham. I've actually had the guy on the podcast, and they sell dough balls. Cool. And they're, I know what ingredients he uses. I know how he makes his dough, and I'm very confident in his ingredients and his procedure. So I'm like, you know what? I just go buy a few dough balls from them because I don't have to worry about prepping it up.
It's easy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's way easier than making it. Yeah, it works out great. It's way easier than like having the whole process of knowing I want to eat pizza 3 days from now and then having to make dough. If I know that I can do it, but if I'm in a pinch, I can just go there and get some.
Same. And it's funny because we tell people if you want pizza on Friday night, you're starting your dough on Tuesday. And you know, some people, very overwhelming. So, you know, one like hack, if you will, we have is we tell, like, if you go to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, they sell the dough in those plastic bags.
Yeah.
Like a pound dough. And it's actually good. Like each one of those stores are good. And
Whole Foods isn't bad. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I tell them to do is take that dough home, divide it in half, and then ball it up. So we teach them how to ball it. And what you're doing is you're kind of, you know, trapping in those gases, letting those glutens relax. It's a whole different experience with stretching it out. If you take that method. So yeah, buy the dough and we can link to it. But how to ball it up, right?
I think you have a blog post on your website, right?
Yeah, we do. It's a little complicated, but not simple. Once you do it a couple of times, it makes a huge difference, even for store-bought dough.
Yeah. And you know what else people make the mistake of is they'll buy that dough and they'll put it in their fridge. And then when they're ready to make pizza, they just pull it right out of the fridge. They don't let it sit out for a couple hours.
Totally. It becomes like an amoeba. And you get holes in it, stretch. Yeah. It's very important.
You stretch it out, shrinks right back to where it was.
Yeah. Exactly. Tastes good.
It's not bad. Yeah. I like it. So that's my kind of thing. I do enjoy making dough, but sometimes like you just forget about it, especially if you're like a home pizza maker.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's funny. Like we're kind of, you know, it's evolving, right? Like we're trying to make it better. We used to make dough in our delis, and I started using these like dough containers.
I have one of those.
And we got one on Baking Steel now too, but like I make my dough and I've got dough in the fridge 7 days a week. So what I'll do is I'll make a batch of five doughs. That's like 1,000-gram batch of flour, right? And if I'm pulling off like three or four on a Friday night, I'll still have a little bit left. And what I'll do is next week I'll make a fresh batch and just add that old dough into the new batch. So I've got like dough literally 24/7 in my studio here. And by the way, pizza dough is super, like it's be well beyond just pizza, right? We can do bread with it.
Yeah.
In fact, my kids love pizza, but they love the bread that you can make with it. You just bake it for a little bit longer. But now you've got like fermented bread, which is so much better than same day dough.
Yeah.
Like, you know that, right? Just like incredible the difference. You know, we're essentially mimicking what some of the best pizzerias in the country do in a home environment. So that is just phenomenal.
What do you think the most intimidating part for people other than the dough about using like the Baking Steel, something at home? Is it like sliding the pizza off?
The launch, man. Yeah. The launch is like so challenging. And I definitely, that's the big thing. And it's funny, like it's almost, if they're going to get it wrong, they get it wrong from the moment they put that dough on the peel. Because as you know, like, and a lot of the pros, they're using metal. They're amazing, right? They don't even think about it. But at home, in fact, when I used to teach classes, proudly, we never had a failed launch. Of all the classes we did, hundreds of them, not one failed launch. Because Craig and I were like right there, like making sure. But the secret is to dust your peel. You know this, but dust your peel, place your dough on, and then make sure you give it a little jiggle. Before you sauce it, before you cheese it, just always give it that little jiggle. That way, when you go into the oven, it's going to be nice and loose and you can launch it, no problem. Once you do it a couple of times, you'll be a rock star. But you don't want the unintentional calzone, right?
That's true. Or like a big hole or the shape of the pizza doesn't really matter because it all tastes the same as long as it's in there.
Totally agree.
You know what I find? You know what the difference is? So I think there's two different categories. There's someone who hasn't made pizza before, right? Yes. And they just don't know how to do it. And they may fudge it up that way. And then there's people who have made pizza before, like me, in a commercial environment. And then you get to your house and it's not that you forgot how to make pizza. It's like when you're in your kitchen in your pizzeria, like, I don't give a shit about making a mess. I can, like, I know I'm going to sweep it up. I know I'm going to have, like, clean the counters. But at home, if I get one piece of cheese in the ground, my wife's yelling at me. So I got to, like, be super careful about making a mess, which throws me off.
This is why I have a studio, by the way. I'm not allowed to cook pizza in the house.
There you go. Yeah, that's why. You got to go out there. I need one of those.
By the way, these dough containers are really nice to make dough because you can kind of contain all your ingredients right inside. So you're making less mess.
But that's what I've learned to do. I have two of those now, right? So one holds the dough, and then one I kind of use for my de facto pounding station, where I like kind of pound out the dough in the tray so it doesn't go all over my kitchen.
Because you'll be welcome back, because the pizza's going to be great, right? If you make the dough, et cetera. But if you're making a mess, your wife's not going to approve pizza night anymore. So we've got to do a really – as men – If we're in charge of the pizza station, we've got to do a good job cleaning up.
For sure. And like for me, that's trying to be as neat as possible in the making process, so I don't have a lot to clean up.
Same. I'm the same way. Like, because I keep the steel in my ovens too, by the way. And my wife sometimes like, get that thing out of here, because I've got like the big, or I've got like this, you know, we call it the Pro. It's like 16 inches square.
Oh, wow.
It's massive. And it's awesome for making pizza at home, but you can't ask her to clean it for you.
Is that how much does the Pro weigh? Because I have the one that does like, I think it's like a, I think it's more than a 12 inch. I think it can do 14 inches across, maybe.
So you probably have the 14 by 16, the original. Probably, so I'll hook you up if you're interested. I'll get you a Pro. It's 16 inch square. It's massive. It's 3/8 thick. So you're looking at like 25 pounds, 27 pounds of steel. So make sure your oven can support it, but. What that allows us to do is we can make 16-inch pies. And at home, to make a 16-inch pie, man, it's just a different game. It's everything's massive. In fact, it took me, I've made thousands of pizzas. When I get to the 16-inch range, it's a different game. It's more sauce, more cheese, more dough. Yeah.
It's bigger peel to put it in the oven too, right?
You need a bigger peel. Like, that's the other thing. Yeah, we had to make a 16-inch wood peel to accommodate that 16-inch steel. It's massive, and it's good though, man. I don't know what the. I mean, obviously it's the same ingredients, but the bites are different, right? When you're biting into a 16-inch, and that's not even like bigger. I think they make them bigger in New York. They make 20 inches.
20, right? 20 inches is usually the large there.
Right, but in a home oven, 16 is probably about as big as you'll get.
Yeah,
and it's something about it. It's really cool.
You know what it is? I think it's the crust to. Not crust ratio, right?
That's probably, you're probably right. It's got, the bite's different.
So you get like, because a 12-inch pizza, you probably get like two or three bites before you get to the crust. Well, at least I do. Most people may be maybe more or less. But on a large one, you get a little bit more leeway before you get to that crust.
You can do the fold, right?
Yes.
You can do the fold. Yeah, you're right. You can really enjoy those bites. That's got to be what it is, that ratio. That's a good call. It's incredible, though.
So I think we talked before COVID hit. And so did your business like explode during COVID because everybody was at home trying to make pizza?
Yeah, I'd say it did. Like everybody else in March, I remember talking to my accountant and looking at, you know, everybody else, like my books and like cash flow and like what's going to happen here. My plant, by the way, can we make product? You know, that's the other question.
Right.
So you're going through all these different scenarios and nervous as heck. And then, but then everyone's home, man. Everyone was home. So I doubled down at that point, I think on Instagram, because I had more time. just throw more pictures up and Facebook and more recipes. And we couldn't leave, but man, everyone else was doing the same thing. So email flow started getting heavier, orders started getting heavier. And so we did get busy. It was hard because we couldn't produce as fast.
I didn't even think of that. I was like, you probably got a lot more orders, but you can't have people go into the factory to make them, so they're almost not valid, right?
Correct. I thought like I figured like it was a family business, so worst case I could go in there with my brother and a couple of other guys and start making them ourselves. The good news on that front was they supplied they also supplied like Caterpillar, John Deere, and they were considered like essential business.
Oh.
So they really couldn't shut down, which was cool. But they were slower, right? Because they less guys, more space in between. We didn't know what we were doing, right? It was just like trying to make it happen. And so, yeah, we were busier trying to manipulate things to not manipulate. That's probably the wrong word, but just to try to
keep trying to figure busy. It out. Like you're trying to figure out how you can do the supply Stay and demand, business. Right?
Yeah, supply and demand. And that's, you know, the good news is we're made proudly in the USA still today. That's like a really important thing for us. My family still makes our product for us. It's phenomenal. All of our steel is made in the USA. Our products now, you know, I really feel like that's going to become even stronger in the years to come, with especially with what's gone on in this world. It's going crazy.
For sure.
And, we're proudly made in the USA and Massachusetts, which is great.
I think you have a great product too. And this isn't a paid promotion or anything. I think I finally figured out how to utilize the baking steel to my best ability.
Awesome.
And it's literally, if I have to make a pizza at my house, right? Like, and I have three different ovens and the baking steel in like a regular oven. You can make a pizza on a cookie sheet if you wanted to.
That's right.
Good. Like, if I have my choice, I'm using the baking steel because I just think it makes the best home pizza. It's my favorite kind of home pizza.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I agree. You know, it's a simple tool. However, you know, because it's, you know, the one thing that I was really nervous about when launching it was so heavy.
It is heavy.
15 pounds. But really, the weight is what makes it work. Without that weight, you're going to have a cookie sheet. And the cookie sheet will make pizza, but it's going to take a long time.
And it doesn't cook the bottom good. Like, I've cooked pizza on a cookie sheet, and the top cooks before the bottom does. And then you get this soggy kind of bottom or a dry crust. It's good. Like, if you're in a pinch, no problem. You can make a pizza on a cookie sheet. I'm not saying don't. But if you want a really, really good pizza, heat that baking steel up for like a half an hour in the oven before you cook.
Yep.
And like you said, 7 to 8 minutes, depending on how thick your dough is, you have a professional pizza that would compete with any local pizza shop. And I know a lot of local pizza shops aren't going to want to hear this, but if you're at home cooking and you're a local pizza shop, then you don't care.
Yeah, right. No, it's true. It's phenomenal. And like, that weight is like, it's, you know, and like, the longer bakes, by the way, when I would do the figs at home in 10, 12 minutes, that longer bakes gonna evaporate all the water out of that dough. So you end up with this like dry crust, right?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's edible, but it's not going to be it's not going to be legendary. I'm obsessed with, you know, when I say that, you can make pizza at home. Because you can follow Tony Gemignani's recipes, right? He's phenomenal, one of the best guys in the world. But we can replicate what he does at home in a home environment using a baking steel, incredible ingredients, the organic flours from like Central Milling or King Arthur, you know, just using great stuff, great cheeses. It's phenomenal. And the experience is even better because now you're sitting at home making pizza with your friends and your families.
And it's good. Like, listen, I have a reputation to hold up, right? All my kids' friends know I do a pizza podcast and I'm in the business. I certainly can't have them come over and me serve them shitty pizza.
Oh my God.
It's gotta be good, right?
I'm like, because I'm new to Michigan-ish and my sons play hockey, well, I gotta feed their bird dogs, their heist. I gotta feed their team some pizza this year. And they all know my Instagram. Like, the pressure's on.
Yeah, you're like, they can't come over your house. If you give them a bad pizza, they'd be like, Dad, your dad's a fraud.
Exactly. So, yeah, the pressure's on, but it's fun, right? Isn't that's the beauty of food in general, just making food for people. It's just like, it's so fun. And, we're going to fuck things up once in a while. I'm sure you have. I have.
Oh, of course. I've, you know, had the peel slip on me and, like, there's sauce and cheese go all over the oven. And it's you try to clean it up quick before your wife sees it and gets mad at you, but... You know, that's the fun, especially like when I do it with my kids or my kids and their friends. Like, that's the fun part. They love making their own pizza, not because they love to eat it, but because they love the making of the pizza process.
That's just it. Like, the experience of, like, just, you know, okay, let's make a pizza together. You know, you got your mise en place out, and like, some people will make it all different. It's art, right? Too. It's like, this is your canvas, paint it, let's make it awesome.
Yeah. All you really need is a good dough. Because you can go in your fridge. If you have a good dough, you can put anything on it, really, and it's going to taste pretty good as long as the dough is good.
I totally agree. You know, I've done like the cacio e pepe.
Yeah.
I've done that, like with the olive oil and the black pepper. Just painting a pesto on after a bake, doing naked bake with just like the pesto on it. It's just like, it's It's incredible. And ripping it by hand if you want, right?
Yeah.
Or just making bread for that matter is phenomenal with the good dough though, right?
Yeah, that's the key ingredient. Like everything else could be whatever, random, but the dough has to be good.
Yeah, and like the flours, like, you know, try different flours, blend flours together, make that recipe your own. Like try, put some spelt in there or a little bit of wheat. It's just, again, the experiments never end.
You cook burgers and stuff on the Bacon Steel too, right?
Yeah, great question. So I've got a glass stovetop here with my mini griddle, and I do, obviously, the griddle is like reversible, so one side's a griddle, one side's a baking steel.
Huh.
So I'm doing all my breakfast foods on there, French toast, bacon and eggs, grilled cheese, you name it, but smash burgers.
And yeah.
I don't know if you've had a steak seared on a steel before. You know, get that thing cranking at like 400 or 500 degrees. Do your New York strip on there. Man, it's phenomenal.
Do that in the oven or on top?
On top. On top.
So wait, you put your bacon steel right on the glass?
I do. Yeah. I've got a version. I'll show you here. This is like my mini griddle. This is a small one. So this is made, designed to fit right over like one burner. And you can see here, like this is my personal one, but I've got around the perimeter, I've got the channel for the, I put this right on top of my burner.
And that doesn't break the glass or anything? It just sits right on there?
No, it's like, it's funny. I never really cooked on a glass. In my guest kitchen, I had gas.
Yeah.
I had customers that would use the glass, but I personally never really used the glass. So I came to my studio, I'm like, oh, here we go. Let's give this thing a whirl.
Were you nervous at first?
I was a little nervous, but you know, it's no different than a La Crusade or a cast iron pan, right?
That's true.
Those are
heavy
items too.
That's true. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, because I use a cast iron pan on the glass, so it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, same exact thing. So this slides beautifully. I use it exclusively here. I leave it here all the time for everything. Grilling like chicken, just like a little lunch or something.
Yeah.
Like 4 pieces of French toast. Make pancakes on it. And it just stays on there full time. It's phenomenal.
That's you. And then what's the best way to clean it?
Great question. So soap and water. I mean, I use a bench scraper, right? You know, dough scraper, soap and water. And then I also have these like cleaning bricks. I don't know if I have any here. I must have one somewhere. But the these are called Earthstone. Seen these things before?
Oh, yeah.
These are like grill bricks made out of like recycled glass. They're great for anything really, but I kind of lightly scour my steel if I have like something stuck on it, and this griddle is like smooth as glass because we work it that way when we design it. Like we make this the griddle side super smooth, but to keep it clean, man, this thing, like I don't even season this. You can see. Look at that patina on that, right?
Yeah, it looks like the grill, the grill you would have to cook like a steak and cheese on in a kitchen,
the
right?
Deli. Yeah, the deli. Exactly, same exact material. So we're using that for any kind of sandwich. It cleans super easy. Soap and water and that bench scraper and that cleaning brick. I've got it like smooth to the touch 24/7. I have to keep it that way because my wife, I keep it on the stove and she's like, hey, keep that thing.
It's got to look good, right?
Yeah, it'll look good.
What? How long do they last for usually? Forever?
The steel? It's going to last. Yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah. It's going to last forever because it's industrial. That one's 3/8 thick. Our original's 1/4 inch thick. It's going to last literally a lifetime if you take care of it the right way.
Yeah. Mine's been in the oven. I think I've kept mine at least for the last year and a half now. It hasn't, other than to clean it and to, you know, clean the oven out, it hasn't come out of the oven.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. So it's exactly what we do. So we make steaks, burgers, you name it. It stays, if you give it a little TLC, like your favorite cast iron pan, it's going to last forever.
Have you ever thought about, can you use these in the outdoor ovens? Has anybody ever done that?
Great question. Yeah. In fact, they do. And I used it. We did an event at the, at a farm in Cohasset, and they had a wood oven, wood fired oven. So what, and I've sent a bunch of these to people who use it in the wood fired oven, and same, you got to be careful because you don't need to burn it so hot.
Right.
So steel, what the beauty of it is at 500 degrees, it transfers that energy super fast, like 20 times faster than a stone would. And so that means we cook pizzas very fast in a home environment.
Right.
So outside, you don't really want it hotter than 500 or 600 degrees. I've got a lot of emails of people like, hey, I put my steel on my grill, I got it to 800 degrees, and I burned the shit out of my pizza. I'm like, well,
if
you used a stone, it probably wouldn't burn it, but the steel, because it transfers that energy, I'm just like, just dial that heat back to 400, 500, or 600 degrees, and you'll see a big difference. So in a wood-fired environment, I would launch it on a steel on half of my oven, and then move that to, say, the brick for the second half of the bake, and then launch a new one on the steel, so kind of rotate them that way. But it does work phenomenal.
I agree. You know what I do? So I have an Uni and a Gosney, and like I have three daughters, so they have a lot of friends. In the summertime, you know, we're out by the pool, and they have all their friends over, and they want me to make them pizza. But the bad thing about those ovens, like the Uni and the Gosney, is that when you cook multiple pizzas in a short amount of time, it loses the heat on the bottom pretty rapidly. So you get these chars and the crust, and the top cooks good, but the bottom's soft. So what I did is I put the bacon steel on the grill, and I used the Uni and the Gosney to like cook the top, and then I finish it on the bottom on the grill on the bacon steel, and it gets that bottom nice and cooked without having to worry about cooking the top.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea. So if you're rapidly making a lot of pizzas, that's really smart. Yeah, because the rebound time in steel in general is way faster than stone.
Yeah. Because you just crank up the heat a little bit. Yeah, the Uni takes a while. Like the top gets hot, but the brick on the bottom doesn't stay super hot.
Right.
So I can crank out like it's great for outside. I can cook like 12 pizzas in 15 minutes.
Oh, that's a good idea. Right. That's smart. Yeah. So yeah, that's in fact, we make a product that fit inside those ovens if people want, because they want to, if they're making multiples, right?
Yeah.
Because the rebound time's going to be a lot faster. They're going to want something else in there to help, you know, speed.
Yeah. That's the only thing. Like those ovens are great for like a home pizza. If you're making one or two pizzas, they're fine. You don't need anything. But if you're making like 10 in a short period of time, otherwise you have this lag, right? Where you have 20 people at your house and you have one pizza coming out every 8 minutes. It's like, and they're not big pizzas, so it's like embarrassing, right? You gotta it takes you an hour and a half to feed everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. In fact, in my oven, I've got two steels, one on the top rack, one on the bottom rack, just for that reason. More steel estate, right? Steel estate. So same thing. Launch on top, then I finish it on the bottom steel, but I can put a new one on top, and I'm just kind of cycling that way. So if I have the hockey team here, I can feed 15 people. I mean, I'm going to be sweating my balls off, but working my ass, but but you can do it. Like, you're going to just get yourself jacked up. Like, I can do this, but the oven's not going to be the bottleneck. It's going to be the human me.
Right. Like the person, especially if you're not like a professional, if you don't know, like if you just kind of, especially if you're a home pizza maker or a parent who's making pizza, you're not going to worry about the oven slowing you down.
No, right. Totally. Yeah. It's a lot of work. But I mean, again, that's work is all relevant, the term, right? It's fun. The experience is what we care about. It's really fun.
I mean, like if you have them help out, but then if you have them help out, it'll be even more fun. They won't worry about eating so much.
No, right. Yeah. You distract them a little bit. Yeah. Like a cloak and dagger.
Well, I love the Bacon Steel. Where can people go check it out online? I know that you can go follow you on Instagram. You're at Baking Steel on Instagram, but if they want to order one or check it out,
we're at Baking Steel. And then we're at bakingsteel.com. And, you know, and on our bakingsteel.com page, we've got classes there. You know, sign up for our classes. They're free. We just do, you know, every week is something different, or we might cycle a few same classes on pizza, English muffins, smash burgers, steaks.
Yeah, tons of stuff you cook.
All the stuff. We just unlimited, right? It's just let your imagination run wild. But that's where we are, essentially. We've got a YouTube channel, too. We're growing and slowly. And if you're in Michigan, in the Grand Rapids area, you know, send me a message on our Instagram. We're going to have classes in here, too, coming up. We can't wait.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It'll be exciting. It'll be fun.
You know what I like about your Instagram account? Obviously, you do great quality video and photos, but you can get a lot of ideas. So if you're someone at home who like needs an idea of what to cook for dinner, just go take a look at your Instagram. There's a whole bunch of different ideas of what to do.
Fun. Awesome. Thank you, man.
Yeah, you do a great job. Andres, thank you so much. We'll link up all that in the show notes for this episode as well. But I appreciate you joining me on the podcast, my friend.
Hey, thank you, Bruce. Good seeing you.
Thank you to Andres for joining me on the podcast. Thank you to you listening to the podcast. I've been really doing a lot of YouTube videos, so go check out our YouTube channel. And I appreciate, here's the thing. I really just want to say thanks to everybody who reached out to me about the Pizza Expo podcast that I did and YouTube video. And I did a reaction video over on my YouTube channel. And I just got a lot of messages from you. Y'all feel the same as I do. So we're all on the same team here, moving this industry forward, being positive. And that's what I try to do. I try to point out things that I notice that I think I can fix. And I try to use this podcast as leverage to get those things fixed or to help you build your business better and have a better life. That's what we're all doing these things for. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much. If you want to say hello to me, you can do that on Instagram at Smart Pizza Marketing. Again, SPM Pro launches now. SmartPizzaMarketing.com/pro. That's it. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you right back here next time.